Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Migs Cast. I am Steve Migs, and I am here with the Reverend in Fuego.
Hi.
Hello. It's good to see you. Hey. No one can accuse us of not being hard workers. We have today off on BJ and Migs, and yet the Reverend in Fuego and I showed up.
I know, and I had to show up at, like, normal time because I didn't want to deal with the traffic.
I made the mistake of, I'll leave around 7:30.
That's literally the worst time.
And I'll be able to get into the gym. I'll get a good hour pump in. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I was like, I'll show up. I still thought, 9 o'clock I'd be able to get here by. Dude, I don't know how people commute every day. No. I just don't get it. I mean, it's effing crap.
I would hope it'd be either by bus or train, because I know some friends that do that.
That's a good point.
And that's the only way that it's like I wouldn't even do that, because, I mean, I came in about an hour later, so I got in here at 5, which means I left about 4:30 or so from Tacoma.
Yeah.
And it was already...
Still traffic.
It's getting, like, packed.
Yep.
And I'm just like, what the crap, people? Mm-hmm. And then I mean, it's like, oh yeah, because it's like everyone doing other stuff and trying to get in early as well.
Yep.
It's only an hour difference, and it was like going from 70 the entire way, like I normally do. I mean,
you rule breaker,
the normal speed limit, like I always do.
Yeah,
60 miles per hour,
give or take 10.
Yeah, to about 50 to 60. I mean, so it wasn't that bad, but there's a notable difference, and then there's just cars everywhere.
No, dude, there's times where, like, I'll come in, like I'll leave my house at 4, and I'm like, why am I not in traffic, but kind of in traffic? It's complete crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, leaving at 7:30, I thought, okay, I'll still be able to, an hour and a half. Even I checked GPS, they said like hour 20 minutes. I'm like, this is great. Sucks, I'm going to be in traffic for that long. And then you just notice the GPS starts building more time. Next thing you know, it's 9:20, and I finally pulled into the parking garage.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, you know, hey, look, I got a 20 minutes workout in. I'm feeling pretty good.
No, he's feeling jacked.
I know we got Levi and a bunch of bands coming in just a little bit. Timmy from Breaker from Portland. That's going to be awesome. And then the dudes in Crypt Amnesia, they're going to be hanging out with us. They're at the J&M Cafe this Friday night, because once again, when Glenn Cannon is not here, we need to replace him with at least 4 or 5 people. He is that good.
I know, poor Glenn. I mean, he's got a bunch of stuff going on,
yeah.
So it was sad not to have him here, and I love having him here, but yeah, there's like going to be a lot of people in here in a minute.
And yeah, dude, Glenn, he's doing good stuff for good people, so he's helping out some buddies, as he says. He's adding more points to his karma pool, or something along those lines. But I do want to read this quick text. We won't have time to do text and voicemails and all that. Just going to be a crazy episode today, and apologies for anyone who sent this one. We'll get to it next time. But I want to give some love for Glenn and his new solo record, which for some of us, we have already heard because the Kickstarter link was sent out.
Yes.
You and me both.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
This is one of those records, and I'm saying it because he's not here, so I don't want to blow his ego up.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. I would say it to his face. I loved it the first time I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But really did. I was like, this is really great. I was really falling in love with the second half of the record. Now I've listened to it multiple times in my car. Thankfully, he gives you like a link to a Bandcamp page, so I can listen to it fully without having to like Dropbox change tracks.
Yeah.
So I could just kind of get absorbed in the music, and the dude legitimately put out a phenomenal record, a masterpiece. I'm so proud of him because I know this is a labor of love. He associated himself with some incredibly talented musicians. I don't want to screw up anyone's name. I think it's Andrew and Louie.
Yeah, I don't know for sure.
And Jeff.
But it was...
And Tommy and a bunch of other people as well.
It's absolutely fantastic. And it's one of those where, like, listening to it in the car seemed like the most appropriate place to listen to this album.
It's great. It's got shades of blue. Like he said, when he described it, he described like almost every artist in the world of the rock and blues genre. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, like from Pink Floyd to Lenny Kravitz. So even my wife. And it's not as a bad thing, and I'm afraid to say it to him because I hope he doesn't have issues with it. Dude, my favorite song on that record I played for my wife. She's like, that sounds like a Dave Matthews Band song.
Interesting.
The Saint and the Sinner song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, it doesn't, because, you know, Not that I hate Dave Matthews.
But you don't necessarily want to be as a rock band associated with Dave Matthews' band.
But then you start listening to him, like, I could totally see where you're coming from on this. And it's not a bad thing. Dave Matthews is an incredible songwriter. And when his songs are good, they're good. Unfortunately, I'm not a fan of a lot of his songs, but this would definitely be a Dave Matthews song I would be a fan of. That's why I'm probably a fan of it. It just got a cool vibe.
Yeah.
But it's got from Floydish moments to Hendrix-y moments to, you know, balls out rock and roll moments. Glenn nailed it, man. And yeah. I know he was very nervous. He put a big post on his Facebook about just how, you know, naked and afraid, in a sense, that he felt by putting this out there for people to hear the first impression. The first impression was phenomenal, but each impression after that has even grown. So,
I have to agree.
Yeah.
I really have to agree. Like, it was one of those ones where it's, I mean, I'm going to support a friend anyway.
Right.
But the fact that it's really good music.
It's nice when your friend's music doesn't suck, so you don't have to lie to them.
It makes it easier on my life to be able to enjoy this. And it was
so
one of those.
You.
Even and my wife was saying, and she was just like, because Glenn was, in these weeks coming up to this, he was trying to make sure that everyone is, I want to say, tempering expectations.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, you know, this isn't window pane, but.
It's not Bruiser Brody.
It's not.
It's nothing at all like those.
No, but at the same point, it's still familiar because it's still Glenn. And so if you're a fan of Glenn as a musician, you're absolutely going to love this. I hope you backed it, but if you didn't, freaking go figure it out and pick this album up.
Buy it when the record comes out.
Yes.
I know he's got the big record release show.
I'm bad with dates. I wrote it down on my calendar.
I'm just gonna pull up his Facebook. You know what? That's the easiest way to let people know. Glenn Cannon album release is July 12th at the Crocodile. That's going to be a great show, too. He's got a bunch of great bands. He's got Stoic FB, Woodshed, a special guest band that's going to be announced. He told us who it is, and it's a great, great, great band from the Northwest. So.
Oh, Raffy. Sweet.
Yes, Raffy. Raffy is going to be there. It's going to be awesome. So, again, Glenn Cannon, his new record is called Devil in the Sunshine, and it is going to be a big release party July 12th at the Crocodile. Get this record if you haven't done so yet. You will not be disappointed. I do want to read a text that we received from our friend. Well, I mean, friend is a loose term.
Yeah.
Wyatt only.
No. Okay, what's going on
I'm
now?
Kidding, Wyatt. You know, I love you. He sent me a text. He said, hey, can you read this on the podcast? Hey, brothers, as I'm sure you guys are already talking about Devil in the Sunshine, I wanted to extend another review. This is the record that will define 2019 rock and roll, not only in the Northwest, but worldwide.
Wow.
I cannot say enough incredible things about this album, from the riffs to the bass grooves to the truly heartfelt lyrical delivery. It is a truly perfect record, and I love that we're saying this while Glenn's not here.
I know, right?
I feel terrible. I'm going to have to tell Glenn, listen to the first 10 minutes of the podcast, at least. Listen to the whole thing.
Oh, but I know him. He listens to it.
Yeah. I also want to personally thank Glenn for writing the song The Void. 10 times listening to it, and I've yet to make it through the song without shedding a tear. It's like Glenn reached into my soul and wrote exactly what I was feeling and recorded it flawlessly. Thank you 1,000 times over, brother. I love you guys a ton. Looking forward to many good times ahead of us, and hopefully a Mixfest 3 so that Rev and I can puke on each other again and have it be somewhat appropriate.
Did we puke on each other?
I apparently so.
I don't remember that, so Wyatt, you need to fill me in on those details, sir.
He's right. That song is great. There's another song, if I can pull it up on my Bandcamp. I'm so happy he did it on Bandcamp because I have that app.
Yeah.
It is Something So Sour. I just love Glenn when it's just, I mean, I love him when he's rocking. Don't get me wrong. I'm in a band where like most of the music that he wrote was rocking. But then when he just slows it down, like Hello Oblivion is one of my favorites. And that's a great rocking song.
Yes, that's a great one.
But Something So Sour has just got such a cool vibe to it. And then also shout out to Brett Eliason, who produced the record. He did a phenomenal job. It's funny that he said something about like The Void being a song that speaks to him. I just heard a band. I've known them for a minute, but I heard a band, and I'll play a little bit of it. They're called Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I don't think I have.
Man, I've been obsessed about this band now. Like, they've had a couple of records out. One was called Blossom. That's how oddly enough, I discovered them because they used one of their songs in NXT, the wrestling thing.
Of course.
And I was like, this song shreds.
This is pretty great, yeah.
Let me check them out. And I was like, oh, this band's pretty badass. But they just put out a new record that has just blown my mind called The End of Suffering. And there's a song called Anxiety. And I've talked about my own mental state sometimes, and a lot of my mental state sometimes is I just don't think I'm good enough at whatever I do.
Yeah,
even though people will tell me that I am, and I should like even like some silly as like getting to play with Stone Temple Pilots. Everyone's like, "That's amazing," and I'm already like, "I'll find a reason to be down on myself. I'll find a reason to poop in my own punch bowl." And when I heard this song, I was like, "Gosh dang, man! Like these guys just." I'll play a little bit of it. It hit me in a way. I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna listen to this song a lot." And of course, it's this band reminds me of like early 2000s alt rock.
Immediately, yeah.
Like Everclear.
Yeah.
Similar to Highly Suspect, another band that reminds me of late 90s, early 2000s alt rock.
I don't know who I am.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody telling me they can't believe I can. Feel so depressed and unimpressed. Be so stressed when I'm so blessed. I got it all and they got less.
I do like you use the word unimpressed.
So sing this song with me. Raise your
been a monster hit in the 2000s on the end.
It's familiar, but absolutely different.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those ones where it's like, it's reminiscent of all of those things you love, so it fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
It's my life, and I work real hard to get this far. It doesn't mean that I...
That's the line that killed me, but I worked real hard to get this far. Because I bust my ass to succeed, but then I don't think I deserve the success that I have.
You bust your face, too.
I did. We're going
to
talk about that.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Because I should be sweet, but I'm not happy.
So yeah, that's Frank. Get the record. Honestly, it's called Anxiety. The album cover is badass.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like some weird prism-looking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
It's funny, you're getting into that sort of music, and just as a tangent, because I want to throw this out
Please
there
do.
For the Mixcasters, I talked about it before. I was getting into like really strange like 50s and 60s music. Mm-hmm. I was getting into like French pop music, just because my wife made up a Pandora station just for when she was working.
Very odd, yes.
Absolutely random, but I was getting really into it. It turned into one of those things where we were getting set up for my 40th birthday party the night before, and we're just sitting around listening to this while we're getting everything set up, and it was soothing, it was pretty awesome, and it kind of led me getting into a little bit of the surf rock stuff.
Okay.
So Dick Dale,
yeah.
And then The Ventures, and I'm bringing up The Ventures because I've been trying to pimp this out.
I've seen you doing
it. Yeah, and I've been just, and it's like, I have nothing involved with this other than I've backed the Kickstarter, but a friend of mine is making a movie, a documentary about The Ventures,
mm-hmm.
and it goes along with his name is Isaac Olson, and he did one.
He did Dick Rossetti's movie.
He did, yes, semi-iconic with and that, I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I have not yet.
It's not technically out yet. It's still kind of doing the festival
circuit. I'm
waiting
for it. Yeah,
it is fantastic. It is outstanding. The fact that Dick Rossetti plays his own father in some scenes.
Jesus.
And you know
Dick. Of course
Dick.
He does.
And you've heard him on
Dick
the Mixcast
there.
Before. He's just crazy, and I love him so much. And then he did another one about a Tacoma band called Girl Trouble, because his like aunt.
Iconic band.
Yeah. His like aunt is in Girl Trouble.
Oh,
and
okay.
So it was one of those things, a total family sort of thing. So he's doing it as a filmmaker. And so he comes across and meets up with a guy named Justin Peterson, who runs a couple of the bars down in Tacoma, who ended up just being able to tour with The Ventures. Mm-hmm. And it turned into going to Japan and hanging out with them, getting interviews with Billy Bob Thornton and just a whole bunch of other iconic people to talk about The Ventures and just, you know, generally BS with them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had all of this stuff for 5 years. He didn't know what to do with it. Talked with Isaac, and now they're trying to put it all together, and right now they're doing a Kickstarter, which is about a week away right now as of today, so it ends on the 30th, so about 9 days, so May 30th it'll end, but I posted it on the Mixcast page. If you got there beforehand, if you can share it, if you can donate, if you want to.
Yeah, please do.
They've got some cool stuff. I did the 50 buck tier because I get a t-shirt, and I need more t-shirts.
We all do.
I'm tired of wearing station t-shirts. I just talking with Danny about that. It's like, all I have are station Nation t-shirts and Thanos t-shirts.
All I have is wrestler t-shirts and a couple band shirts. I need to, I can't, my wife will kill me, but I need to open up my world to other other shirts that have nothing to do with bands or wrestlers.
So yeah, it's just Walk Don't Run is the name of the movie. Okay. You can find it if you just search for Walk Don't Run movie, Walk Don't Run film.
Adventures movie on Kickstarter.
Exactly.
If you just type,
it's
you'll find
really
it.
Easy to find. I posted on the Migscast page. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I've been posting it there as well. Mm-hmm. If you can share, if you can donate, please do so, because it's the last couple of days for that.
Awesome. Yeah, please do that. I saw you posting about that, and that's a band that's, I mean, they have so much history.
It's so iconic, yeah. And they did, I mean.
And I'm a sucker for a music documentary any day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear about this, so.
So
throw it out there.
Before we, I know Levi, I know these guys are waiting outside, so we're going to jump to them in a second, but I definitely want to share a little bit. Thank you to everybody that came out to the Normana Lodge in Everett on Sunday. It was the biggest turnout, which was scary for me because, look, I'm a year into this world of wrestling. I got to wrestle with one of my absolute favorite wrestlers, and that was a big part of why I wanted to do this, is Pitfall Jones. I know we've been giving him crap, and him and I were talking. He's like, man, your listeners are very clever in the ways that they were insulting me. And he's like, I was like, dude, I hope you know that they're in on it. He's like, no, I wasn't upset about it. He's just like, they went the extra mile to find like Indiana Jones connections, Pitfall, the video game connections.
That
like,
is killer.
Every insult that your audience gave me was hilarious. And he really appreciated that. But, you know, so I got to be paired up with someone who I knew I was in good hands with. But, you know, we were the main event. And that's and they've had big name wrestlers on the independent level come to town, from Joey Ryan to whoever it may be. So I'm like, man, I don't want us to be the one clunker of a Without a Cause show, because I do, as much crap I give Max, the promoter, and everybody else involved with Without a Cause, they are very important to me because they are truly the promotion that has had faith to give me an opportunity to be this character. Unlike any other promotion, I love a lot of other promotions. It's not to dismiss anyone else that I've worked
Absolutely.
With. But they are so important to me because of the fact that they believed in me more than I even believed in myself, to go back to that song.
Absolutely.
So we have a last man standing match, which is not your typical match. It's basically you have to beat the crap out of the other wrestler until they can't get up at the 10 count. Of course, wrestling is wrestling, and I know that, right? But in order for this to be, to people to get lost in this world of wrestling, you have to legitimately beat the crap out of the other person. And so chairs were used, trash can lids were used, a lot of videotapes were used.
Somebody had, I think it was retweeted by Max, and it was somebody had done a live tweeting of the entire event.
Oh, Jennifer, she is amazing.
Yes. She did some of the video of just what you guys were going through. First off, I was dying at the conga line of children giving you the slaps.
That was big to me, yeah.
I was laughing so hard. I was like, I watched it, I laughed, I walked across the house, and I made the wife watch it as well, because I was just at the home. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. But then they got the kids involved, which has been kind of a staple with you and the NWAC.
Yeah.
Because the kids...
kids got their comeuppance.
Yeah, they love to hate you, and now they got to actually affect the show.
You didn't get to see it as well in the video, but I was wrapped with videotape.
That's funny!
He broke a VHS tape over my head, legitimately. You see the mark.
Yeah,
I mean, my face is effed up right now. Black eye and multiple marks.
That's your new Andrew WK cover photo, by the way.
Because I do like the party anyway, so it makes sense. But I'm trying to find her Twitter handle, because she's a huge star in the gaming world. I'm sure,
really?
In the game development world.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got so many followers. It's ridiculous. And she's verified.
She was so excited.
She just recently discovered wrestling. Not that long
ago.
So when she does these live tweets, they're legitimately some of the funniest stuff, because it's so sincere and it's so new to her that she doesn't know the world of wrestling. So whenever she's like, oh my gosh, this just happened, oh my gosh, this just happened, and it's like the funniest stuff.
Oh, she was losing her mind. It was so great.
Yeah, so like when I even messaged her, I'm like, hey, oh, sorry, I'm not answering that. Where the hell is her damn
scam likely?
Damn, my notifications blew up after that match, which is pretty damn
that
awesome.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to find it so I could give her proper credit on her, because you should go to her Twitter page and follow all the stuff that she wrote. Oh my gosh, I feel terrible, but this is just what my podcast is, right? Like, this is what we do.
We're getting there.
I'm just still, jeez Louise, man. Oh, here we go. Jennifer, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like Shirley. Go G-A-O-H-M-E-E on Twitter. G-A-O-H-M-E-E. You can watch some of her live tweets. She's a lead game designer for ArenaNet.
Oh, I almost swore. Okay, Yeah. They've done some amazing games. They're out of Bellevue.
She's the coolest person in the world. She's from Australia. She's like the sweetest, most awesome person. I've gotten to become friends with her because of her.
Oh, wow.
Her tweeting about wrestling. Because finally, it's like, I ran into her. I'm like, I just want to thank you because, you know, as wrestlers and wrestling fans, we constantly are being treated like we're these redheaded stepchild kind of things. You know what I mean? Like we're the black sheep. And the fact that you've put us on this platform in a different world with different audience and shown such pure love for what we do, it means the world to us. And so it's, I just want to give her a ton of love because she's one of the coolest people I've met recently. And Jennifer, thank you for tweeting about some of the stuff that I did. But yeah, she's like, there's a line of kids smacking Steve Miggs. This is the best effing day of my life. I'm trying to find where it says that. Oh, yeah, listen, you guys, there's a line of children now who all chop Steve Miggs one by one. This is the best day of my effing life. in all caps. But, dude, the match was insane. It was, so I'm nervous it's a main event match. B, it's a last man standing match. I'm only a year in. This is maybe my 11th match or 12th match total. You know what I mean? And most of them have been tag team, multiple person. So I've been able to, like, kind of hide my greenness, thankfully, because I'm in matches with a lot of people. I've only had two singles matches, three singles matches.
Wow.
So here I am wrestling a guy who I legit think is one of the best wrestlers in the Pacific Northwest in Pitfall Jones. Keep your eye on him. This guy is going to blow up, and deservingly so. He's incredible. And then I'm doing it in front of people, and I'm scared that we're not going to have a good turnout. Turns out we have the biggest turnout that they've ever had. And that was like, wow. And now it's like, oh my gosh, the pressure. And we put on over 30 minutes. We beat the living crap out of each other. So, I mean, it's not even like a 10-minute, you know, I mean, this went on.
A half hour.
I did not think it until we got back. And they're like, because they said, go 20, 30 minutes. I'm like, we'll go 15. And he's like, it's going to take a while to do what we want to do. Because, you know, I got the moments where you're getting counted. And I don't factor. It's not really 10 seconds. It probably takes like 30 seconds to count to 10.
Yeah. You got to build up the drama.
And on top of it, our ref is Aubrey Edwards, who just got signed to All Elite Wrestling. So she's a friend of mine, but like, so I'm really nervous I'm going to screw this up for these two incredibly talented people in the ring with me.
Yeah.
And man,
I legit can walk away.
I walked away from that match. Yeah, there's some stuff I probably wish I could have done better, but I walk away very proud of what we did.
And it was just reading the responses from the people, like the people that have been giving you love online.
Yep.
Like and just being able to follow that and just seeing the replies from the other tweets that people have thrown out there. Like a lot of people are saying that it was the match of the night, obviously you want that to be with the main event, but the fact that you did it and you're able to do it, like seriously, congratulations.
Thank you, man.
The first thing that I saw was the
my effed up face.
No, actually the first thing I saw was the power bomb that you did on Pitfall through the table. Like, and I was just like, oh my God. Okay, they're really going for it. Because you don't necessarily know what to expect when it comes down to these.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that, and first off, good form. it looked really like it was professional. It was professional wrestling when you were doing it. So it was great to see that.
Yeah.
And then I sent you the text and I was like, sorry about the outcome, but
you
did fantastic.
Thank you.
And then you sent me the picture of your face and I was like, holy crap.
Go to my Twitter at I'm Steve Miggs. You can see my face. And it's not much better today. It's still,
I got a
massive black eye.
I can't wait till the show tomorrow and BJ sees it.
I was bummed in a way that we weren't on the air on Monday because
I
was happy I got to sleep in because my face hurt. I mean, it hurt. My back hurt. I took a chair to the back. I took garbage pails to the back. I mean, we beat the living piss out of each other, like legit beat each other. And then we're friends, which is the crazy part.
Go have a beer afterwards and blow the kids' minds.
We had a shot of whiskey and ate some chicken wings.
There you go.
Like champions. But dude, so there's been a few of talk about my anxiety. My anxiety of A, not looking like crap for the people that I respect. Be having to want to prove this to myself that I could do this and not do it in a half-assed way. I'm not trying to be a radio guy who's taking advantage of being a radio guy to get wrestling matches and mail them in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to come off as anything other than I want to be considered a worker. I want to be respected like any other wrestler that goes in that ring. That's really all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot to prove to myself. And I know my family thinks I'm nuts, and like my dad and my mom give me crap about it. They hate it. And other people in my life think I'm an idiot. I don't care. Like, I've gotten to a point in my life, and yeah. I think it's sadly, I'm in my 40s when it happened. I wish this would happen in my 20s. But I got to a point where I'm not going to live my life for other people.
Yeah.
Obviously, I care about what my wife thinks. That's all I care. But as long as she's cool with it, and she is, I want to do things that I've always wanted to do so I can look back on my life. And if one day, maybe if we're lucky enough to have a child, I could say, look, this is what your father did because he did not care about what other people told him. What is the status quo, mm-hmm. whatever it may be.
Yeah.
If this is what you want to do and it's not hurting anyone, and most importantly, not hurting you, granted, physically it's hurting me, do it. By all means, do it. Don't let other people dictate what your dreams are. I've done that for so freaking long, man.
Yeah, and it's a relief.
Yeah.
One of those things I realized early working in radio, it was kind of taking the jackass mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Some things may hurt a little bit. It may hurt your pride or mm-hmm. whatever. But ultimately, if it's entertaining and you're putting it out yep. there, go for it. And that was one of those mentality things. I think it was literally one of the times when it was like we had a weird somewhat gift to us was like a towel or something yeah. really ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I decided it's like, well, I'm just going to go down in the lobby, take my shirt off with this towel tucked into my pants and uh-huh. start dancing around so we can get stupid video of it.
Right.
And people are like, well, that's really weird. And it's like, why would you want to do that? It seems super embarrassing. I'm like, because it's not going to kill me and it might be funny. And if it's not, then it's already over.
It's done.
It's done.
Right.
And I said I did it.
People will forget it.
It exactly. Yeah. But sometimes that stuff is great and it at least you did it.
Exactly, man. And
get past that is hard.
I would have never guessed a year ago that here I would be in a 30-plus minute last man standing match as a main event in front of 200 people that are. And, dude, I'll tell you, man, when the match was finally over and we just completely beaten the living crap out of each other, I'm laying on the ground and I'm listening to that crowd. And I was like trying my best not to like tear up because I was like, they have forgotten whatever it is in their life for this last 30 minutes. And have gone on this journey with us and have escaped reality with us. And then Aubrey, the referee, she checks in on, you know, me at the end. She's like, you good? I'm like, I'm good. She's like, you put on a masterpiece. Like, you and Pitt, she even said, she's like, you should be proud of yourself.
That means so much.
And like, she doesn't do that lightly. Like, she does that. Like, a lot of refs do that during a match. Like, you're killing it. You're killing it. Keep it up. Like, they're there. They're at equal importance as the wrestlers. And I don't think referees ever get enough credit. And that's as they shouldn't because the character isn't supposed to. You know what I mean?
Oh,
if
totally,
that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
But anyone who knows wrestling, who is a wrestler, realizes that if there's three people in the ring and one of them is a ref, it's 33%. Everybody is important. You know, and if I'm in the ring, I get that extra percent because I'm a local celebrity. Kidding. So that happens, man. And so I'm like feeling pretty good, but I'm still like, is it good? And when I gave that, the last ride, the Undertaker move, it's basically a giant power slam where I pop him up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so full. I was so dead. And I was like, I got him. We got him up, threw him perfectly into the table. I look over and there's a wall of all the boys and all the girls. We call them all the boys, but it's not gender specific. It's any of the workers.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of them are lined up in the back wall right where the hard cam is. And their mouths are open, including a few guys I genuinely like look up to. And they're all just like screaming like, and they even pulled me aside. Like, I felt like a fan again. Like
that
I was emotionally invested in that match. And then I leave, go through the curtain, and I don't know, anyone who knows that UFC probably knows this guy, and he's an indie wrestler now, Filthy Tom Lawler.
Okay.
Badass in the UFC back in the day, just a few years ago, actually. He just had a falling out with Dana.
Oh, okay.
And eventually just said, F you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to let me work, I'm going to go do my other love, which is wrestling.
Thing.
He's killing it on the indie scene. He's like, he pulls me aside. He watched the whole match because he was on the card.
Okay.
He had a great match against Chase James, the champ for WAC. They put on a phenomenal match.
Nice.
And he pulls me aside and he's like, so I hear you've only been doing this for a year and this is like your 10th match? I'm like, yeah. And I'm still like kind of emotional. And I'm like, he's like, dude, that was incredible.
That is amazing.
And I'm like, really? And he's like, I would have never guessed. He's like, I even checked with the promoter to find out. I'm like, what? How? And then I go get dinner afterwards. I'm talking to some of the people involved in one of the promoters and Max and a few other guys. And they're like, yeah, Tom pulled us aside while your match was going on. I go, how old is he? And how long has he been wrestling? And they're like, He's I think 43, and he's only been wrestling a year. I think this is like his 10th match, and he like legit lost. He's like, what the F? And he said to him, he's like, if that guy would have started 6 years ago, he'd be a star right now in the Indies. He would be a star. And I'm like, what? Like, here's a guy who's a star in the Indies, and he's just like, he's got it, man. He just knows what he's doing. And he's like, and then I guess during the match, he texted one of the guys. He's like, I want a match with him. I want to work with him.
Wow.
And I'm just like, all this stuff is like blowing. Like,
that is so like legitimately super cool.
It was like amazing, dude.
See, you can tell your parents, you're like, all those years of watching wrestling, yes, and playing with all my action figures.
It came to something.
This is how it happened.
I did homework until I was 42 and then finally was able to apply 40 something years of homework, brother, into
brother.
This. And then I'm at the gym today before this and I check on Twitter. And I look, and Dave Turner, who's one of my favorite wrestlers in town, and just, I mean, he's so good. He's so damn good, and he's just an incredible dude, too. He just puts up a random tweet today out of all days. And again, I'm still like on that wave of anxiety about wrestling and how am I viewed in some people's eyes. He goes, Steve Miggs is a man with an established career in radio. He went into a last man standing match with Pitfall Jones on Sunday, his wife's birthday, at Without a Cause Wrestling, and destroyed himself. Hey, Northwest, if this is your career or dream, Miggs forced you to step your effing game up.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to try a little harder on this next set.
I don't know if you want to try harder, dude. Rev
just cursed.
I know. I'm so excited for you, damn it.
And even Pitfall said, last Sunday, I didn't hold back, and Steve Miggs gave as good as he got. nobody should take Miggs lightly. I thought that, I mean, it's just, you know, I don't ever know if I'm going to get the respect or the anything from some of these guys in the world of wrestling, the world of music. There are some bitter people, and there's always going to be people going to hate you for whatever you do, and I've accepted that. But to have the people who I respect just go out of their way to post something or say something or you know, request to work a match with me, like, when I found that, I'm like, I'm totally down, but I'm scared crapless. Like, Filthy Tom Lawler can hurt a person. He's a UFC fighter.
Yeah, right.
But I would be down if that ever did happen. I'm not going to say no. I've never been afraid to take any opportunity I think I'm in over my head over. But man, oh man, like, yeah, dude, it's been a pretty surreal couple of days, to say the least.
I think it's been a couple.
It's been a pretty powerful couple of days.
It's been a pretty couple of cool years for you, I think. Like, yeah, the last couple of ones. I mean, you know, Turds in the Punch Bowl aside.
Oh yeah,
you've been able to do some fantastic stuff, and it's like, it's you not wanting to back down from stuff and being like, well, if you're going to throw it out there, let's see what happens. All right. Yep.
What's the worst that'll happen? I'll look like an idiot. I made a career of looking like an idiot. Yeah, dude, I'm with you, man. Like, I always say, whenever someone's like, oh, man, I've not realized the 30s are going to be as great as they are. And I look at it and I go, just wait till you get your 40s. If you take care of yourself, I'm saying this, I've never been in better shape. I've never been mentally in better shape. And even though I have my moments where the turds and the punch bowls do get me down, but like, this has been the best decade of my life. Or the best start of a decade. Yeah. You know, the 40s, yeah. Yeah. I've been, I don't know about you, like with where you're at, well, you just turned 40.
I just turned 40. So far, it's been pretty good.
I genuinely believe that this will be the best time of your life, and hopefully the 50s will do the same, and at some point, it's going to all shut down. I get it. But I can't thank people enough. And I got to take a shot at Game of Thrones while I did a promo.
Oh, really?
It was great.
Oh, here we go.
So at the end of the match, like, we do a couple, each of us had a promo to give. You know, we said some stuff. And, you know, I started off heartfelt, and then I ended being a heel because
that's what you're supposed to do.
You know, I thanked Pitfall. I said, I've already had respect for you. I hope I earned your respect. you've already earned mine, but I'm looking at this guy. I had someone pull up their phone. I'm like, I'm looking at your Twitter, and you're not verified, so you haven't earned this belt.
Oh,
and the place was like, boo. And then I was like, and shout out to Aubrey Edwards. She's All Elite, and people are like, yay. Unlike the rest of you losers that are here. Boo.
Get that heel heat.
But right before I grabbed the mic, some lady just yelled something about Game of Thrones is about to come on. And so, of course, I had to have some fun with it and almost did like an inside joke on our show, because you know how we always rail against people who say nobody likes something, even though it's hugely successful.
Yeah.
I made it a point to say nobody likes Game of Thrones. So here's a little audio of that. If it plays, hopefully it does.
It should play.
Nobody watches that show. It's fake, don't you know?
That's how I started my promo.
It's fake. Don't you know? The outcomes are predetermined. Duh.
Duh. All right. Well, I mean, anything else going on in your world? You like
no,
good?
No, we got the guys waiting, so we got to make this happen.
I know. I'm sorry. All right. Let's just jump right into it. Pause real quick, but then we'll jump in with our friends Levi and the band Breaker Breaker and also Crypt Amnesia. They're going to be at the J&M Cafe this Friday. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah!
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
That's the one. Did you catch that? Ladies and gentlemen, Levi is in the house. Woo! Levi, of course, bringing some of his buddies. Always brings great bands in with him. But before we chat with all the bands, Levi, I don't think I've had a chance to officially thank you for keeping the Boys and Bruiser Brody alive in Vancouver.
Man, Steel Panther was awesome.
I don't know about you, but I every time anyone says, hey, what did you think about Steel Panther? I'm like, I'm a fan of their music, but whether or not you're a fan of what they do, behind the scenes, you will walk away with the utmost respect for those guys. They treated us like freaking gold.
Oh, big they're time. Super nice guys.
Yeah. They were so nice. They rolled out the red carpet. At times, I thought we were the headliner the way they treated us, man. Shout out to Levi. Levi somehow can make friends with everyone and anyone. At some point, we're doing a meet and greet at a pot shop, and the employees of the pot shop are like excited to meet us losers in Bruiser Brody. It was great.
They were like, here's a bunch of swag, man. Thanks for coming in. Let's do some photos.
Yeah, that is killer.
Yeah,
the killer bud.
Yeah, oh, dude. Yeah. Nothing but the best.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, big up to our friends at Wander Cannabis. That's why I figured I'd sport the Wander Cannabis shirt today.
Nice.
So, yep. There.
Well, you got a bunch of good guys here with us. Why don't we introduce them? Because there's a big show happening this Friday over at the J&M Cafe, and you are the man in charge over there, so.
Yeah. I came across Ticker and this band, Crypt Amnesia, reviewing a bunch of bands for the Hempfest Festival, which is coming up.
Uh-huh.
And I love this band. I'm trying to get them in on the festival this year, but I at least wanted to build the relationship and get them to open up for Breaker Breaker.
Yeah.
And Rich found Breaker Breaker. These guys, we were down doing this party with Uncle Andrew's World of Weed down in Centralia.
We've been there.
We
swung there on the way to Portland.
Yeah.
Yep, guys there.
Totally. So we did our little cannabis stop in there down to Uncle Ando's World of Weed, and then we went and saw Breaker Breaker that night. Man, I was just blown away, man. It's like instantly fell in love with these guys. So I had to book them too. I was just like, okay, building a relationship with these guys. They're
right. Yeah, so let's talk some Breaker Breaker, and then we'll definitely talk some Crypt Amnesia as well. So you guys are based in Portland?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Portland seems pretty sweet, huh?
Yeah, Portland's great. Just like anywhere else, everybody wants to complain about, oh, it used to be so much better.
Oh, yeah, that's me about Seattle. I ain't gonna lie. I miss the old Seattle, the 2000s era.
Yeah, I swear we'll be in like Copenhagen, Denmark, and they'll be like, this place used to be so much better. No matter where you go, man.
We become the old guys that are, get off my lawn.
Exactly.
The rock scene was better 10
get
years ago.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Kids with your wheelie boards and hula hoops.
So give us a little backstory on Breaker Breaker.
Well, the band was originally started about 4 years ago in Portland. I was actually born and raised in Washington. And when I came to Portland, I didn't have anything going for a while. And, I met a couple guys and had some rock and roll. I just looked around and I saw a lot of good music, but no one really liked to rock too hard. I feel like people have been afraid of that for the past 25 years.
Yeah.
So flannelization of the decade past.
Flannelization is the greatest line ever.
But, I really wanted to put in elements of, just the fun aspect. I feel like people forgot that rock and roll is about having a good time, sharing a good time. And it's not just about showing off or, jerking your guitar off or whatever you want to call it. Definitely do that too.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But
especially if you haven't, you've been away from your lady for a while.
Right.
It's important.
You got your guitar. Yeah. You always got your guitar. So, I really wanted to put sort of a fun band together. And, it ended up, being way, way better and cooler than I thought it would be in the first place.
I feel like we could all probably agree in bands, like, once you stop worrying about everything and just let me find a group of people that I enjoy spending time with.
Right, yeah. Well,
and that aren't going to drive me insane and that have similar energy about what I want to do. Like you said, I just want to have fun rock and roll music. I think that goes a long way.
That's the ultimate challenge too.
Yeah.
The right people, all the variables out there. So once you find the cool people,
then you're good.
If you're having fun,
they gotta look
guys.
Cool too, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they gotta have at least one leather jacket.
Okay, I was gonna say, what are the five tips that you would say that you need to have in order to look cool in a rock band?
Makeup,
leather jacket, jacket
pants,
one.
Jacket, okay. pants, and you know,
some
leather.
Makeup.
Now, is it leather pants,
hairspray,
or is it a different kind of pant?
It could be pleather pants, as long as they look awesome. You know?
All right, right on.
You got to pull them up all the way. You know what I mean?
Skin tight.
No, I think that you know, Maddie and Brian couldn't be here today, but they're two of the most amazing musicians I've had the pleasure of playing with, and. You know, we all write songs together, and you know, this new record that we're putting out—it's done, but it's not put out yet, and it's we're really excited about it. And we've had amazing opportunities. You know, being able to play support for actually Steel Panther, we did that twice.
How nice. Much fun! Yeah. So you could agree.
Oh,
they're the
guys.
Greatest guys
oh,
in the world.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
No, we love them to death.
And they're funny as all hell.
They're hilarious.
That's
and,
cool, man.
I also love that they haze their crew on stage throughout
oh,
the
yeah.
show. But then behind the scenes, I mean, I don't think they're going to be mad if I peel the curtain back a little bit. They are the greatest people to their crew. So
super
it's
super
like,
nice. Their crew is the happiest crew in the world.
Plus, they get all those joints thrown on stage, which is we had the after.
I'm pretty sure only
that.
Half the band actually smoked them. I'm not really. Sure.
I think it might only be one member at
yeah.
this point. Yeah,
just, everyone else is just. Sleeping I know that, them up. Don't worry about these.
So they handed out. Like, do you guys want these? We don't need these.
Everybody wow. else was like going home, and I think Michael came out, and he's like, "Hey, we're in Portland. Take us to all the strip clubs."
Yes.
I'm like, "Okay, it's
okay." What's the number one place you take them to then? In Portland. Do you go A-Crop or do you go something else?
I would go Kit Kat Club or actually Devil's Point or Lucky Devil, those three.
Lucky Devil, yeah.
Lucky Devil's three.
I just like that
I
name.
Have friends that work at all of them, and they're all great guys.
Devil's
gals,
Point
and,
sounds familiar. What's up with that club?
Well, it's owned by the same person who owns Dante's and Sir Theater.
Okay,
Frank
okay.
is his name, and he's a great guy. And it's just, you know, the cool thing about Devil's Point is that every other Sunday they do stripper-okey. So you can go up on,
what?
Yeah, right? It's exactly what it sounds like. Karaoke with strippers involved.
What?
Well, you're singing on stage and strippers are dancing like on you or around you.
I'm fine with just strippers trying to
See,
sing.
Yeah, I was just like put on like a little.
A lot
like,
of those girls are great singers, actually.
That's
you don't want to follow them.
Wait, Sunday nights at Devil's Point?
Yeah, it's not every Sunday. I believe it's every other
Rich,
Sunday.
We got to go back
right
to
this down.
Road trip.
Everybody's going to go there. Yeah. They're going to hate me for this.
Make haste.
No, so another great band that we were able to play was LA Guns, which was a huge dream come true.
Oh, nice.
Those guys are great. Phil Lewis. And this was, you know, after Tracy and Phil reunited. I mean, I worshipped those dudes in high school, and it was great to be able to rock with them and share a stage with them. Another guy who's great that we played with two times now is Uli Roth. And that guy's probably got to be the most humble rock star of all time.
Really?
He's been touring the world. I mean, if you think about the early Scorpion stuff, you know, for what, almost going on 50 years or something. And he played a 2-hour set and then stayed afterwards and signed autographs for everybody.
Wow.
And took pictures and still had enough energy to crack jokes. And he was just the nicest dude ever. He made fun of how small my phone was.
Phone.
That's a phone.
Well, let me see your phone. What's going on?
Well, no,
here?
I got a big one now,
okay.
man.
Yeah, okay.
After that, I went to the Verizon store the next day.
Yeah. That's a girthy phone you got right there.
If Uli doesn't approve, I'm not using it.
Is that a phone in your pants, or you just have?
It's actually an iPad. I don't even use a phone anymore.
So why don't we check out the new record is about to come out?
Yeah, well, there's been a little bit of a hold on it because of the label that we had set up. The deal that was offered just wasn't feasible. So now we're kind of in the market for finding another label to put it out. So that, you know, pushed back the projected date for the release. It would have come out this month, but now we're hoping for August.
And on Nerdy Band Chat, I mean, we have a lot of musicians that listen to this, so I don't feel bad being nerdy about music stuff. Where'd you guys record it, and what was the experience like?
We recorded with Kevin Hahn at Opal Studio. Kevin Hahn's amazing.
And that's in Portland?
That's in Portland, okay. Yes. And Opal Studio is probably the most professional studio that Portland has to offer. And Kevin Hahn is a great singer, great musician, great guitar player. He's actually, he fronts the Journey tribute band, Stone and Love.
Nice.
And those guys are amazing, like all of them.
So he's an okay singer then, is what you're trying to tell us.
He's given me some tips.
Dude, if you're going to front a Journey tribute band, you better have pipes.
Yeah, you got to bring
him. Yeah, he's got him.
You can't half-ass that.
He actually helped me like learn a lot of the technique that I use on the newer record as opposed to the first one. I kind of blew my voice out singing the wrong way.
Oh,
and he was like,
yeah,
you got to stop doing that or you will not be able to talk in like 5 years.
So what's the wrong way? What's the right way?
I don't remember what the wrong way is anymore.
That's good. We shouldn't talk about the wrong way. We don't need to fall back into that pattern.
We don't talk about that.
But what's the right way then?
Well, you got to sing from diaphragm, and the higher the note is, actually the less you're pushing rather than, you know, where you think it sounds, you know, it sounds louder, but, you know, the
Nice.
It sounds like that hurts. But it doesn't. The way I used to do it, it actually really hurt really bad.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad way.
See, I can only relate in the sense that in the world of wrestling, like some of the moves I remember, like, I'm so scared to do that. It looks like it's going to kill me. And then the hardest looking moves are sometimes the easiest looking ones.
Okay, well, with wrestling, you know, if you get hit real hard, you know, and the noise you make when you get hit really hard, you're kind of, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that rather than, you know, pretending you're getting hit and you're like, you know, but with what you do, with the video you showed me, you get hit in the head with a chair. That was real.
You can't fake that. No.
Yeah. Nope.
You can't fake a black eye either.
Yeah, the proof's on your face.
There's a lot of proof on my face right now.
Yeah. I see it. You came in. Wow. I was like, is this the guy? Are we okay?
Get ready for an interview.
Levi, this guy seems rather aggressive. Tell me more about your band. All right, choke slam you. Why don't we listen to the first track off the upcoming record? It's called Shotgun.
Yeah.
A little backstory before we jump into it.
Shotgun is a long one, but it's my favorite song on the album. It's you know, just about just different friends of ours and you know, growing up with different you know, whatever, chaotic past and watching friends come and go and fall to their own demises or whatnot, I guess. It has a lot of different story to it. I think a lot of it has to do with just learning to live life to the fullest without letting life take a hold of you, you know, and bring you under. So
awesome. All right, well, check it out. Shotgun, Breaker Breaker here on the Mixcast. We'll be right back. I'm so happy you're here and now I get to hear this. No, like legit, this speaks to me. This is the type of music I love. Just balls out, fun. We don't give an F rock and roll music, or as your Facebook page says, music that makes you drive faster. Agreed.
Yes.
Harder than the Devil's D. I'm not positive of that, but I'm going to have to take your word on that. Timmy from Breaker Breaker, my man, that is freaking killer.
Thank you, man.
Yeah,
appreciate
dude.
It.
Yeah, woo! Dude. I'm really, really excited about that. That was awesome.
Cool.
And again, you're going to be playing over at the J&M Cafe
this Friday. This Friday.
Hopefully, we'll be seeing a lot more of you guys here in the Seattle area.
Yeah, we love Seattle. And
I was already like politicking to want to come down to Portland and play with you guys. Like,
yeah.
That's you're Levi, welcome. Dude.
Yeah.
These
Thank
guys
you,
are
Rich.
Rich. Seriously, yeah, Rich.
Come in. To Cheerful Tortoise, and I'll serve you guys some beers, and then I'll take you guys to every strip club in town. It'll take about
Rich,
a week.
Ron, we gotta do some of that stripper karaoke.
Oh yeah, stripperoke, man. That's insane.
And the band that you're gonna be playing with here at the J&M is Cryptomnesia, who's also here.
What's up,
Good
everybody?
Good to see you guys.
Hey, Monster Rock.
Nice.
See, I just by the name alone, I'm like, the Rev is gonna have the biggest stiffy for you.
Oh
guys.
Hell yeah, man.
Rev is, I mean, of all the people in our station, it's the biggest horror movie,
yes.
horror,
oh,
lifestyle
yes,
type of dude.
We're
just the name alone, I feel like, instantly let you know kind of like the vibe of what you guys are going
yeah,
for.
Yeah, cryptamnesia is a real word, too. It means having memories of your past life and in between and stuff, so it's just really cryptic and awesome. And
Jesus.
We
yeah.
love it, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Deep, the dark.
And we were very influenced by, like, Rob Zombie and a little bit of Korn and a little bit of everything like that, but, like, Dope. We like Dope and mm-hmm. Murder Dolls.
Man, I remember seeing Dope at the Phoenix Underground back when it was still around, and that was a hell of a show. Them
dude,
and Mushroom
yeah.
Head, man. That
dude,
was insane.
Yeah, we I watched them open up for Black Label Society at the Soto a while back.
Whoa.
And even though I was like really hard on for Black Label,
yeah,
it was the first time I saw Dope, and they had those bass drops with their hard rock, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
The tick stick is hard. So,
a lot of hard stick talk.
There is a lot of. I mean, you guys. It's like as if you guys know our podcast.
I had to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like you guys know
just
our show.
Just a bunch of dudes having a good time.
I think every episode we talk about our dong, so it just seems about right that we're
usually
doing it here.
Is there really anything else to talk about?
It's the one thing we can all see eye to eye on, right?
Wait.
What happened here?
No, I don't want to see
eye to eye. Conversation got weird real fast.
Wrong eye.
It's cool. It's cool. Whatever.
Mayday.
He was like, I shared a bed with that guy in Vancouver. I should stop listening to this.
Nothing weird about 10 guys in a room talking about their dongs.
Don't worry. He's
doing it since grade school, man.
He told me he just goes to sleep with his drumsticks. Now I don't have to worry. What the hell is that all about?
How come you only have one drumstick left?
Well, right? It's my awkward story.
It's my lucky drumstick, Levi. So what's the backstory with you guys besides the name?
Dude, so all of us kind of come from other bands, like Akon and I were in projects like 12 years ago, mm-hmm. or for 12 years, excuse me. And I broke up with the band I was with for a while. They're just kind of burning bridges a lot. And I was like, I gotta
yeah,
leave this. And
I know that.
Yeah. So I started with hit all these guys up. We started together. Our rhythm guitar player would come up once a month from Wenatchee. He'd drive like 3 to 4
wow,
hours every month to come up and do stuff. And, you know, I really like KMFDM a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
Learning from those guys, you know, they did all that stuff where they were all data and they would just like mix stuff and send it to each other. And they were from different places, you know, so we kind of did that, took some of that inspiration until we can all get together.
It's funny because a couple of them used to live in Seattle.
Yeah.
I think they've all kind of moved on beyond that. But
yeah, so Jules is doing a thing right now called Detonator, which I'm hoping
really?
One day we can open up for because I really like Jules. A while back, I got a chance to play with Andy and Jules. They were doing mm-hmm. a project called Spit and Cobras.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
I got
yeah.
to, I got to play with
badass.
Them. And
is Detonator with the umlauts? That,
yeah.
You know, I like those guys. I heard them.
Yeah, KMFDM was always the top three for mine, actually. So when I got to hang out with them, and you know, they drink and they're like, get super like, hey,
you're like,
hey,
I don't understand you.
It's great. I'll sign your napkin, sure. You know, and they just they're just really cool. But anyways, yeah. So we have a lot of like industrial inspiration. We don't sound super industrial. There's just a lot of cool techie stuff we like to throw into our, you know. Stuff like that, and we just really dedicated to get things going, and we've only been a band for over a year and a half mm-hmm. as Cryptamnesia, and we've opened up for Powerman 5000
nice.
And Bullet Boys, which I think I talked to you about.
Yeah.
Because you played with Bullet Boys too, right?
No, we played with a bunch of bands. I don't know how the Bullet Boys thing got brought up.
Maybe it was LA Guns, because you're talking about LA
Guns. Yeah, I think it might have been LA Guns talk.
I was really excited to talk about it. And Uli Roth too.
Yeah, and Lita Ford. So cool. Lita Ford's a Jesus. Ooh,
what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we played with Lita
Jesus.
Ford. You know what?
That's awesome.
I always thought she was going to be really tall and mean, but she's like tiny and sweet.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like a lot of the hard rock bands, whichever from whichever format you come from, especially with like the horror stuff as well, super cool,
yeah.
super chill, yep. and just want to go
image,
and have fun.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And they probably get all that dark stuff out in their art.
Well, coming out with Lita Ford coming out, you know, especially in the 80s or late 70s as a female guitar player at a time when, you know, people weren't really accepting that sort of that females can do anything really at all.
Yeah.
And so she came out strong, you know, and that's what she had to do.
Yeah,
you know, in reality, she's a sweetheart.
Totally.
And, you know.
Yeah, and
we also recently did Crypticon.
Oh, yeah. You guys were at Crypticon?
Yeah, dude.
I was there on Sunday. I was just like, I felt terrible because I could only be there on Sunday and just check it out. But that is one of the best horror conventions.
Oh, we had
a
out there.
Party. Thanks to Dawn for Murder Weapons. It was a really cool band. She got us on that. And
nice.
Dude, D. Wallace was there. She was there. Some people from X-Files. We were just nerding out big time.
The guy that played Leyland on Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool.
Roy-wise.
Yeah. So we're really into making our own music videos because I own a cinematography business.
Jeez. Oh,
so
nice.
We
gotta help us out with that.
Yeah.
I would be honored, buddy. I got you, man.
We're really into taking selfies.
But man, you make it look
you're
good,
not the bad
dude.
Guy too. I'm like, hi, I want to talk to you later. I could use a music video. We could commission you guys.
I got you, man. And that's was the follow for Rob Zombie.
I couldn't even update our Instagram story. I couldn't even figure that out. I deleted our profile picture on accident.
Whoops.
Him and I were like, we were just like Russian scientists over there trying to figure it out.
It's
like,
pretty
what's going on here? But Rob Zombie did that. You know, he made his own videos.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to take that into inspiration. So I went to college and we busted out 5 music videos in a year. So what we have now is we do 2 EPs every year, and we're going to make a music video for every single one because we understand it's kind of like that online, you know, and it kind of sucks, but
it's the day and age we live in, man.
Yeah.
Social media is so damn important.
And there's a lot of bands that I've met that haven't grasped that yet, and they don't want to, so they don't really, like, get the benefits of doing it. And it sucks, but if that's what it takes and you love your music...
But if you can figure out a way and that it's not, you know... You know, it's just cheesy. It's like you figure out a way to make it artistic, even though it is social media. But if you can find a way to make it work with the art that you're doing, then you do have a leg up on a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because that's where everybody is looking for different ways to enjoy their music or whatever it may be. And social media is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
Going
so
back to what you're saying earlier, too, when you're talking about finding the right group of guys that just want to have fun and do it. And we stay really busy trying to write and record, you know, 2 EPs a year and then a bunch of music videos while playing shows and... even though we stay so busy, all the guys are down for anything, anytime.
Yeah. The first music video we did, I told these guys we were going to go on like a quarter mile hike with a generator like 200 pounds of flour, and we did it, and it sucked. It was so bad.
Wait, 200 pounds
what
of
the flour?
What was
the
flour
for?
Well, so
are
we,
you antiquing yourself?
Yeah.
Fake drugs.
Tons of it. Yeah.
We're getting the beaver's high.
I don't know why you would need 200 pounds of it. Jeez, Scarface.
We were trying to make a statement, okay? No. The song was called Poltergeist, and even though we didn't have a lot of the special effects at the time, we wanted to just literally cover ourselves head to toe in flour and do super slow-mo shots. So we're like headbanging, and this flour is just flying off, and it's so cool.
Where can people find your videos?
YouTube. They're everywhere.
Okay,
but we got, you know, we got our website and all that stuff.
I'm still finding flour in my drum kit we use.
Thought you were about to say something else.
Yeah. I think flour you were.
I can't get it out of me.
Flour in my car. I drive like a convertible PT Cruiser. They see like flour. I'm like
everywhere.
It's just coming out of the exhaust pipe. Like in a cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a noisy pop band way back in the late
pop.
90s. And my thing as a drummer, I thought it'd be really cool to have, like, I would take little bottle caps and fill them with glitter. double stick tape it to the cymbals. So at some point
that's
during
amazing.
The show,
yeah.
you hit it, and dude.
That's like something Slade would have done.
It looked awesome because it was like just this, it just exploded of glitter. The
oh my
problem
God.
Is.
We're going to steal that idea.
Please do.
Maddie's going to hate him.
Warn your drummer that he's going to see glitter.
I'm not going to warn him. Okay. He's not going to know. He'll never let that fly. I'm just going to put glitter on there, and as soon as he starts playing, he's going to be like, what the?
What is
this? Going on here?
It yeah. doesn't leave your body. It doesn't leave your car. It doesn't make my drum bags, because they're still the same one. I have different kit, but there's still glitter to that glitter. It never leaves.
Oh, venues, I had to clean up a venue afterwards.
Oh, no.
Long time ago, it was like right when I entered like the industry or whatnot.
Yeah.
My job was just to clean up after bands got done, and there was like a glitter party. It wasn't even a band.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you right now, it's impossible to clean glitter.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't sure. matter what you do.
Dude, it's like that even with wrestling. Some wrestlers, they'll have, like, a certain entrance, and they'll, like, blow off those, like, glitter cannons or those confetti cannons. Geez. And all of us that are like, no, that we have to still clean this gym up because it's a gym during the day, and then it's a wrestling venue on Friday nights.
And then they're like, I know that. Ha, ha, ha. And
yeah, we're like, you dicks.
It must suck with, like, the streamer club people where they throw the streamers, like, Japan.
Everywhere. Oh, the Washington Hall had to shut it down because some of those streamers had dyes in them, and it was dyeing the hardwood floors of this historic venue.
Like, is that what the fight can't do?
Yeah.
Don't even say the word streamer. Swear
yeah,
to God.
Well, it's like Washington Hall. Like, they just renovated that old building. I mean, Jimi Hendrix played there, like, old school venue. Like, and they spent like $12 million to renovate this building, and then all of a sudden, this pink streamer bled into the hardwood floor.
Oh, no.
And they're just like, yeah, we got to shut that down. And which, understandably so. It's like nobody
knows. Crowd wants what the crowd wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw anything on
we
it.
We want streamers, confetti.
Pretty soon, people are going to start tar and feathering the audience, and people are going to leave looking like chickens.
It's hard to
best
find. It's like,
ever.
Like, oh my God, you get your chicken wings?
I got them. Look at my wings.
At one point, you got to think of other stuff. I told him at one point, do you guys remember Jelly Neck?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Jelly Neck was one of my favorite local bands of all time. I love those guys.
Yeah, Frank and the guys.
Oh, yeah, Frank.
Yeah.
They wore the masks.
So they used to bring out, like, sex dolls.
Mm.
And I don't know why, but I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Then
so we keep ours backstage.
Akon, yeah. Akon here is like, dude, if you do that, I'm quitting. Like, everyone's done that. And I was like,
Steel Panther's the only one that can get away with that.
Yeah. So it's hard. So what I want to do, what we're trying to figure out right now is how to, because venues are really, if I brought it up to them, I know they'd say no, but I want to find a way to harness insects. Because of the horror rock stuff, right? Like, I don't know how yet.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not going.
25% of the whole world's afraid of insects. And Cryptamnesia knows that. So we're just trying to think of...
We're in your head, guys.
I don't like this idea.
The show book is the moment I quit.
Yeah. Like, what is all these grasshoppers and freaking slugs? What are you doing? No.
We haven't worked out the kinks yet.
I won't even change my porch light right now because I'm afraid there might be a spider near there.
Yeah.
I don't even see one. I won't do it.
Gross, man.
I feel like this might be the last show of Breaker Breaker and Cryptamnesia.
Yeah, I don't know about these guys.
And then you guys
come on, man.
Like, you know, the J&M frowns upon maggots. So I'm sorry.
And I absolutely hate spiders.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Oh, you know who else uses sex dolls? Speaking of sex dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Band we played with, they're awesome dudes, Gacy DC. Not even joking.
I've heard of them. They're amazing.
They're amazing.
No yeah.
And they had not just sex dolls, but they had... large appendages, blow up appendages.
Nice.
Dude,
and people were just
nice.
Like,
there
I mean,
was like a video
them.
Where people were like literally like
doing
like
lots
sword
of stuff.
Fighting
disco
with
dolls.
Like these
sword
attachable
fighting.
Leg. Yeah,
yep.
I saw that.
Yeah,
blow up,
it's weird.
Blow up dong.
It's weird.
That yeah, makes me so happy.
Imagine
inside.
Coming out, hey, how was the concert? It was great. I got to just stroke this giant phallic thing.
What'd you do over the weekend? You know what? I played with a giant blow up dong.
Check out my Instagram story. I've got it all over there.
Current mood thunder.
Is that an elbow?
And then I went to a show.
So you guys have an EP called Bump in the Night.
Yes.
It's on Apple nice. Music, Spotify. Yeah. Breaker Breaker's yeah. music is also on Apple Music,
dude,
Spotify,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah.
Just not the new record
Our
yet.
First record's up. It's called Wrecking Machine. It's 10 songs. It's on Spotify.
Dude, and shout
and
out.
We have a video too. Bunch of stuff on YouTube.
Okay.
Just type in Breaker Breaker Portland. It'll take you to a bunch
And
of
if
stuff.
Anyone knows cool labels or guys that want to invest in,
oh,
this,
yeah.
in your band, that's before we get to the song by Cryptamnesia, please let people know.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. We need a label to put our record out.
Give them money. Please.
Just going to get straight
breaker,
to the point
breaker.
There.
Yeah.
We have a few prospects, a few promising leads and whatnot. But we had to turn the deal down from before, so we are off. We're back in the market for that.
And how could they reach you guys? Just through Facebook or
Facebook? If you want to hear the music, you can go to Spotify or the Facebook or the Bandcamp page. yeah, check us out.
Search
email
for Breaker
me.
Breaker, yeah.
And BreakerBreakerPDX@gmail.com. I answer to that. It's also up on our Spotify and Bandcamp page as well. So.
And shout out to you, man. That song was dope.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing yours right now.
Heck yeah, man.
All right, so it's the title track, Bump of the Night. Any backstory?
Well, it's not what you think it is.
Okay. That's funny because there's a wrestling.
It's not about flour. How about that?
There's a wrestling, there's a wrestling podcast that's called Take a Bump, because in wrestling, when you fall, it's taking a bump.
Well, you got Boney M. You know Boney M. Do you want a bump?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's 77. Do you want to bump? But, I mean, come on. Do you want a bump?
Dan Kane ruining a cool word like that or making it more awesome?
His name is Boney M. I mean, come on, man.
What's up? I'm Boney.
That guy is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So even though we got a lot of songs that have a lot of meaning, and we like to use a lot of metaphor with like Poltergeist isn't just about a poltergeist. It's about how, you know, you can't get rid of a poltergeist. You can't kill me. You can't get rid of me. I'll just keep coming back. Bump in the Night's just about partying.
Nice.
Even though I said it doesn't sound like that's what it is. It's just,
so
it depends on what your version of partying is. But so
that's
the whole bump in the night.
UK way of thinking. Yeah. Partying just means anything.
Bump it all night. Just partying like bunch of ghouly, spooky, crazy bastards. Yeah.
And we did a video for it too. We went all the way down in the Shen Farm, and where was it?
It's Coopville.
Coopville.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, really nice radio voice.
Ooh, thank you. Oh.
Sounds great. Hey, you guys gotta
stop trying to take my job.
Mikey, say easy listening.
Easy listening.
Ooh. Nice.
Sorry, Steve.
I almost feel like you should ramp up the song. Introduce the song.
Okay.
And the best radio voice.
Yeah, so we're Crypt Amnesia, and this is our song, Bump of the Night, off the Bump of the Night EP. I'm Mike, drummer. Hi.
Here we go.
Oh, wow, that was good.
Oh.
There I am, the bump in the night, I know his figure. And we are the ones who bump. Just in the light, we don't bump up in the night.
Nice.
That's awesome, dude. That was really freaking cool.
Thanks, guys.
Crypt Amnesia, and that's preview. If you want to hear more of them, you go to Spotify. You go to Apple Music. Yeah. You go to their website.
Yeah, you whippersnapper.
Yeah, that's right. Or you go to the J&M Cafe this Friday night. They're going to be playing with Breaker Breaker.
With Breaker Breaker.
It's going to be a good time. But before we, I want to chat a little bit more about another song from Breaker Breaker. But before we even do that, you gave me a nugget while we were listening to the song. You're like, you know, one time, but we don't have to talk about it. I'm like, No, we're talking about this.
This comes up.
I did not realize that we're in the room with a criminal that broke by our security to try and give a record to Jolene.
Busted through clothesline to security guard.
Please tell.
When you guys wrapped
call
the,
security.
The other building. I drove from concrete to give Jolene an EP.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
No matter what.
This is very Airheads.
So I ran in here. Yeah, but no hot sauce, no hostages. Right. I was just,
no Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they wouldn't talk to me forever after that, probably for a good reason. And I just ran through, got an elevator, and
so
I got
you
up
just
there.
Busted
and,
past our
oh
secure.
Yeah, I just ran for it.
No,
well, I mean, it's the old building.
I was about to say, Rev, I would agree. But any given moment, you probably could just walk right by them, and they wouldn't even care.
Was there an actual security guard there?
I probably ruined it for myself then, because I was told it was all like locked down. You got to get in there. You
nine
have an appointment
times,
and
dude.
Stuff,
nine
and,
times out of ten, the security person was asleep.
Legitimately,
you probably woke him up by running.
Yeah, right. I ruined it.
Midday.
I got to do my job now.
Yeah.
So I got up there. It's like, oh
man, I was having a good day.
Had that glass door,
that
glass wall, and security came up there and mobbed me. And later, good like 2 months later, I'm right in the men's room and I'm hammered. And then they were asking, I can't remember what they were asking.
You're making
at all.
A lot of good decisions.
Apparently, yeah. So I was writing, and I was so wasted, I forgot punctuation. So the men's room actually talked about me and my thing on there, how I was trying to talk to them about
how
I
know how to spell.
Yeah, and that's what they did.
Punctuation.
And they were like kids today. I was like, I was drunk though.
Drunk kids today.
Yeah. So they talked about it, and it was just this awesome moment. And a lot of my friends were like, dude, they were picking on you. And I was like, any promo is good promo.
They said my name.
Right. Yeah.
So that's actually like being here today is like awesome. A huge thing for me because I'm actually allowed in here.
So you did it.
You did it.
Yeah. All you needed to
that's
know is Levi.
Story.
Levi. He's got the
Levi. Bringing drunk kids up to success levels.
Dude, so one of my favorite stories, and please, Levi, don't bring this guy in. There was a guy that wanted, he had an idea that he needed to get in. And this is like just a few months ago. And he tried to blow by security. They called the cops. He's being arrested. I'm going to get a sandwich. And there's a guy outside in our lobby just being arrested. And as I walk by, he looks up. He goes, Midge, what's up?
I don't know him, yeah, I swear.
And one of the cops like, how do you know him? I'm like, I don't. And then thankfully, the guy goes, I listen every morning. And I'm like, oh my God, that's our audience.
Scary.
That is our audience.
That reminds me of a job interview I had one time. I'm not even joking.
I had a
job interview once at a bar in Portland, and the whole interview went great, and we were doing our final, you know, like, well, right on, I'll be, you know, expecting to hear from you, or you'll be expecting to hear from me. And right at that moment, a good buddy of mine was getting literally thrown out of the bar across the street, which wasn't very far away, and it was a big commotion, and there was like two bouncers, and he was like, blah, yelling, and we all looked out the window, and my friend sees me, he's like, Timmy! Timmy! And I'm just like, oh, no, and they're like, you know him? I'm like, that's not my name. I don't even know that guy.
I'm Timothy.
Yeah,
my
they
name's Tim.
They didn't call me.
No friend called me.
But my buddy called me from jail. No, I'm just joking. That would have been great.
He's my job reference right there.
Yeah. Oh, here. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I put as my main reference, that guy right now.
Yeah. He just went above and beyond. Besides just an email letter of reference.
He really wants me to get this job.
He's really excited.
He wants me to bail him out. So
so one more thing. Again, J&M Cafe this Friday, Breaker Breaker and Crypt Amnesia. And I definitely want to check out another new track from, because I know we have a lot of people who listen to Breaker Breaker that are checking out the podcast and are just jumping at the opportunity to hear some new music from you guys. So the other song you mentioned that you wanted to throw on there is called It's Alive?
It's Alive, yeah. And this song is about, well, let's say that Dr. Frankenstein is a female, very attractive female.
Oh, okay. I love it already.
Yeah, right? Okay. So far, everyone's on board.
It's like a weird science penthouse forum.
And she makes out of dead body parts or whatever, she makes a zombie or a Frankenstein for her own pleasure or sex slave.
Oh, it's your own Rocky Horror.
It's called It's Alive. And
At what time in the night did you come up with the idea for this song?
I think that was between the hours of midnight and 8 a.m.
Yes. I would only hope that's the case.
33 a.m. on the dot.
Yeah. All right, let's check it out. It's Alive. This is Breaker Breaker off of their upcoming new record. Again, see him at the J&M Cafe this Friday night. It's Alive. That's Breaker Breaker again from Portland, but they're here in Seattle on Friday over at the J&M Cafe playing with Crypt Amnesia, which is going to be a great show. Highly recommend people going to check it out. That's going to be awesome. Levi, you never disappoint, man. You always bring in awesome dudes.
Thanks,
always a great time having it. And thank you guys for making the trek.
Thank you guys, man. This is kind of a dream come true for me. Yeah. I grew up listening to this station, and when Levi approached me with it, he's like, would that be something you'd be into? I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah,
right?
Let's do it. And Maddie and Brian are, you know, the drummer, the bass player, the other two members of Breaker Breaker. They really wanted to be here today, and they apologize for not being able to. And
they just didn't want it as bad as you.
They promised they'll... Yeah. I guess so.
Kidding. I love you guys.
No, actually, I didn't let them come. I was like, no.
There you
no,
go.
Me. My interview.
My
no.
Moment.
They said that they should be able to make it to the show.
That's all that matters.
What's up, Rich? We're just talking to these guys.
Jump in the mic, Rich.
We're just talking to these guys about Bellingham, since they're all from Bellingham. Is get a hold of these guys. We've been thinking about taking a party bus up there, dragging everybody down here so you get a clean and sober driver and dragging you up. So if you're interested, get a hold of Breaker Breaker or
Kryptonesia. I lived in Bellingham.
And we'll see if we can put it together. So,
and they can find you guys on Facebook, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or just contact Lion Pride Music on Facebook, which is always a great way to go.
And
I've said it a million times. I'll always say it. I swear by it on the air, on the podcast. Lion Pride Party Buses legitimately are the greatest things in the world.
Don't dab and drive.
They've taken care of us.
Don't dab and drive. Yep. Smoke and fly.
Despite many attempts, Rich would not let me drive the bus in Portland, but that's okay.
That's a good call. That's a good thing, everybody.
This bus is going 4 miles an hour.
It's going too fast.
Usually when I pull people over, they pull over onto the shoulder.
You can't pull anywhere, man. Snosberries.
You can't pull over any farther.
All right, well, we're going to get on out of here, and again, check them out on Friday. Whoa, what's up?
I just want to say the KIS.
Oh, yes, thing. Please do.
Can I do it?
Yes, do it right now.
All right. This is Timmy from Breaker Breaker, and you're listening to 99.9 KISW. Rock!
This Friday over at the J&M Cafe. I got two guys going to take
list.
My job.
Yeah, right?
Again, J&M Cafe, Breaker Breaker, Crypt Amnesia. You can check those guys out. It's going to be a great time. As always, I appreciate anyone who listens to this. That's always really cool of you guys.
Thank you.
Apologies that Glenn was not here. Obviously, he had a million things going
He's
on.
He's hanging out with Maddie and Brian right
he
now.
He is. He's in Portland. They found a middle of the day karaoke strip joint.
Karaoke!
We have to talk later.
Gluten-free strip club.
We
got a couple other great shows coming up, too. Steel Sharpened Steel Tour, which is some of Tech Nine's peeps. That's on Saturday, the day after, at the J&M. And then we got the Loonies Tour coming up also at the Jazz Bones. We're going to be down at Uncle Andrew's World of Weed down in Centralia
Shout
and Aberdeen with the Loonies. Mm-hmm. And then J&M, and then Tony V's up in Everett.
Nice.
Yeah, love you in June.
All the information available. Tony V's, real quick, if you want to have the greatest chicken wings, have them combine the barbecue sauce with the hot sauce. I did this on Sunday night at the urging of one of their waitresses, and it blew my freaking mind.
Dude, yes. Tony V's is one of my favorite places.
It's awesome.
Hands down.
So thanks for listening, and stay positive, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.